You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast that you're listening to right now. Thank you so much, called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. It is a daily podcast, 365 days a year, and each day we talk to an author about all of the things related to their career, their book, their life, and more in 30 minutes or less, because who has time? I am now an author myself, although I wasn't when I started this podcast, and you can get my new memoir, Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, wherever books are sold starting July 1st, and my children's book, Princess Charming. You can learn more about me at zibbyowens.com, but really, you're here to learn more about the authors, and that is what we're going to do. Also, be sure to check out all the other podcasts in the Zcast Podcast Network. You can learn more at zcastnetwork.com and definitely check out those shows as well. Cara Forney is the author of Boy Moms, Collective Tales of Mothers and Sons. This was guest hosted by Juliana Goldman of Mama Den. Entrepreneur, startup advisor, and business coach Cara Forney has more than 30 years of experience with startups and executive leadership. Inspired by her own pregnancy experiences, in 2005, she became a .com founder, creating thebump.com for new moms, and then she grew the company to become the go-to resource for expectant motherhood. The Bump was acquired by The Knot, and post-transition, Cara began consulting with startups and other endeavors. In addition to her work with founders, she combines her passion for education and her alma mater by serving as the executive director for the University of Arizona Corporate Initiative Program, developing creative partnerships with industry to provide greater access to higher education for working adults. In 2022, a desire to shed light on the real hashtag boy mom experience led Cara to create and publish Boy Moms. The book is a collection of essays by moms from all points of view, sharing their personal stories about the joys, challenges, and overall significance of the modern mother-son journey, which often looks very different from what society or social media portrays. This is Cara's first book.
Cara Forney, author of Boy Moms, Collective Tales of Mothers and Sons. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to chat with you.
Tell us about Boy Moms. What is it and why did you write this book?
So Boy Moms is an anthology of essays written by moms of boys, talking about their very kind of raw, honest experiences of raising sons, how that may or may not have matched with what they thought it was going to be like. What are some of the things that made sense to them and then didn't make sense to them? And how did they work through that themselves? What did they learn about themselves as well as their sons? So it's just, someone called it this, which I love because I remember those books, but someone called it the chicken soup for the boy mom soul.
It was, yes.
Chicken soup, yeah. So, which it, actually I was like, yes, that's exactly what it is. It's this anthology of great essays written by wonderful moms. And, you know, I think there's 46 of them. We had such great response to the call for essays that, you know, we had to really work very hard to decide which ones we're going to be in. And I think we got this great representative of a very diverse look at what it's really like to raise boys. It's not this one size fits all. It's often, most often not what everyone told you it was going to be like. It's so much more. And so, and a lot of times very different. So I'm really excited about it. It was this very simple idea that I had, but the writers, the essay writers really just elevated it to something really, really special. So I'm so pleased with it.
It is chicken soup for the boy mom soul. It's like a warm cup of tea to just sit and you feel, yeah. I don't know, I feel like you finish it and you just kind of exhale and have a smile on your face. You really feel, as a boy mom myself, you know, reading through it, you just feel really connected to a larger community out there.
Well, and that was my, I love hearing that because I think, you know, all writers, and I'm not necessarily a writer. I feel like I project manage this and I wrote an essay, but I'm not necessarily, you know, but I think that's what everyone wants from one of their, from their books, right? Is to really have their audience feel seen and have it resonate with them and have them really feel connected to something. And that's what I wanted because this, a lot of the, my inspiration for this was just my own experiences, obviously raising boys, but then my experiences in the lives, being involved in the lives of my friends and my peers raising boys. And a lot of times, if your experience did not match what those kind of preconceived, you know, ideas you had or that society has around what it means to raise boys, it could be very isolating and you could feel like you're doing something wrong or, you know, I'm not part of this larger group because my child doesn't do X, Y, and Z, or my child is very different. And so that's what I wanted to really combat. And I wanted to just change that narrative around it so that all moms of boys feel seen and heard and part of that larger community that we are. And hopefully that's what it does.
I want to come back to one essay in particular, because it just made me think of it, where it talks about trying to figure out what your son's talent is and this pressure to figure out what that talent is. And the mother kind of coming to terms or realizing that that her son's talent is not what what other mothers might find in their sons.
Exactly. Yes. And I think I love that essay. And I think that speaks to, you know, all of us as mothers, as we feel this pressure to find our child's thing,
right?
You know,
yeah.
What is their thing? And we've got to get them in that thing and we've got to get them on that path and they've got to start excelling in that thing. And instead of just sitting back and kind of naturally watching things evolve and take place. And, you know, that's one of the big things I learned as well, is that because if we're trying to make our son have a thing, it's usually our thing.
Right.
It's usually what we think their thing should be. And I, you know, I'm very guilty of that. I did that so much. And it's only when I began to step back and let them kind of let their thing evolve that, you know, it really started taking root in them and made them flourish. So yeah, I love that. That one was by Wendy Sobelman. Mm-hmm. She's fantastic. Yeah.
I love that. Also the authors are not necessarily household names. How did you find everyone?
Yes. So I'm so thrilled you pointed that out, because that was very deliberate. That was very deliberate. When I was talking to my editor about this, Elizabeth Lyons, we went through, okay, what would this look like? And even before we even kind of said it would be an anthology, what does this look like? And then when we looked at an anthology, okay, so let's reach out to, who do we reach out to? And I mean, we quickly came to the decision not to have it be well-known names, because we wanted it to be very kind of raw and real and from your neighbor or your best friend or someone that you could really relate to, you know, on all levels. So that was very deliberate. And what I also love about it is that, so we went everywhere. I went everywhere to find these essay writers. So I went to mom groups. I went to writer groups. I went to mom writer groups. I went to my friends. I went to peers and colleagues. And I, what I also love is that there's such a diverse, not only are they not household names, it's a very diverse group of women.
And so, cultures too.
Yeah.
And so you see the way, yeah, I love that.
And they, so some are writers, some are, you know, coaches, some are stay-at-home moms, some are career women in very different fields. So I wanted everyone to at least find one essay that they could see themselves in. And I'm hopeful that that's what we were able to accomplish. And I think I love, you know, even the writers or the essay writers who aren't writers for a career, you know, having their essays out there and, you know, along with these women who are wonderful writers in their own right, and that's their career, I think is really fun.
It's also a very refreshing contrast to the more curated world of social media and mom influencers. There was one line in particular that I really, really related to. I mean, it sounds so basic, but someone writes, "How am I supposed to teach my son emotional regulation when my own emotions run wild?" I think about that a lot. I have a 6-year-old son right now, and I'm just lately very cognizant of the behavior that I am modeling for him as well, right, especially in terms of emotional regulation.
Right. Yeah. And I think we can all relate to that. I think totally. That's such a universal thing. And going back to what you're saying about social media, and that was one of the big things too, that really was the kicker for me to do this, because I started hearing all these things about, or even talking to my friends. We talk about being moms of boys. And I'd hear, well, I have boys, but I'm not a hashtag boy mom. Like, what do you mean by that? Like, yes, you are a boy mom.
Right.
No, I'm not one of those hashtag boy moms.
What is the hashtag boy mom?
So I started researching.
Yeah.
I knew, of course, online, you know, on social media, but there's a lot of discussion on Reddit. There's several articles on how this hashtag boy mom culture is very aggressive. It's very exclusive, not inclusive. It's like, it makes women feel like if you don't have a boy that fits into this mold, then you're not part of that hashtag boy mom culture. And so that just, I said, this is ridiculous. We should not be, you know, isolating ourselves. We should be coming together. We're all, you know, moms of boys. And so that really pushed me to put this out there as kind of a voice around boy moms and the hashtag boy moms that different and changes that narrative.
Tell me if I'm wrong, if I've missed this part, but you don't explicitly talk, well, many of the essays deal with neurodivergence. So whether it's autism, children on the spectrum, ADHD, I feel like it's not, you don't say this in a foreword or anything, but it's sort of woven in throughout.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So the essays that are in the book are representative of all the essays that we received. What struck me was how many came in around a neurodivergent topic. And so whether it was, like you said, whether it was ADHD, all the way to kind of full autism spectrum, that was very prevalent, which is reflective of society today. And it is reflective of what's going on with our boys, and that this is something that is affecting moms and their experiences as moms of boys in a very, very real way. And it also is a big factor in what impacts your experience as a boy mom, yeah, that will directly be the antithesis of what maybe you expected and keeps you from having that typical boy mom experience, right? So I think that is, I love it because I think it's very representative of what moms are experiencing today and how prevalent a lot of this neurodivergence is in our boys.
Yeah. Again, back to social media, because it's not what you see women talking about on social media. This isn't what they want to highlight in terms of their experience as a parent. And what was great, I thought, was that there were so many examples of this throughout the book that there was one essay in particular that I completely related to. I think it was Will's, the little boy's name was Will. And I wanted to reach out to the mother and be like, oh, there are so many similarities. I would love to know different ways that you dealt with certain things. There was one essay in particular in talking about the sensitivity of boy, having a sensitive child. And again, this mm-hmm. comes back to this topic. One of the authors, she has a son with ADHD, and she writes that boys are deeply sensitive and deeply caring, but often taught not to show it. I'm deeply grateful that Will has stayed connected. Oh, this is the one. I'm deeply grateful that Will has stayed connected to his sensitivity. And I envision a world where this becomes the norm rather than the exception. I loved that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. I do think that is what causes a lot of anxiety in our kids today, and our boys specifically, is this tension around being deeply sensitive, but feeling like they can't share that or show that. And I think, that's part of the conversation that needs to happen, is that we need to be very aware of that. I mean, when I first had boys, I literally said to myself, oh, phew, I dodged a bullet. Yeah. Meaning, and I said that because I was your typical crazy, sassy teenager, talking back, very emotional, the whole thing. And I thought, God's going to give me a girl just to get back at me.
Yeah.
And so I went in with this, oh no, great. I got boys. They're not going to be emotional. I'm not going to have to deal with that. I was, 100% wrong. And I had a very sensitive firstborn. And, in hindsight, I hope, I look back and I think, what did that preconceived notion, how did that affect the way I parented him, younger, before I kind of had some enlightenment around, boys can be very deeply sensitive, and we need to get underneath that kind of shell that gets put on them and allow them to have those feelings and show them that it's okay and let them express them in the same ways that we let our daughters express their emotion.
This is a pretty, I feel like, a novel parenting concept, at least in this generation. I feel like there's more attention being paid to this now. But you think about boys, like these sensitive boys, 50 years ago, and what they, how that kind of parenting has shaped them, and that, and what that has done, and sort of the macro cycle of what ultimately it has created in society.
Well, we can see it.
Yeah.
Right. We can see it. And I always like to say, it's too late when they're running for president, or they're being chosen for the Supreme Court, or they're, it's too late to start instilling those things in them. We need to do it as boys so that when they become men, they are doing the things that keep them very in touch with themselves. Mm-hmm. And so that then they can execute their lives in such a way that is healthy and respectful and generous and humble and loving. Those are words that are not necessarily valued back, you know, previously, I think you're right. I think there's much more attention now, which I'm thrilled about. There's a lot more, you know, I think of, there's Dave Thomas. He has a book called Raising Emotionally Strong Boys. Mm-hmm. You know, there's more attention to it for sure than there was. And, but it still shocks me that, that there are, you know, continue to be kind of these tropes and ideas and preconceived, you know, things around boys. It's still very prominent. Women, moms still feel very pressured to have this kind of picture perfect storybook. I have a rough and tumble boy who plays sports all weekend and this, that, and the other. And anyone who's not fitting into that still can feel very, very alone.
Yeah. No, the sensitivity and masculinity, it can coexist.
Absolutely. It absolutely does coexist.
Totally.
You've just been smushing it down.
Yeah. We took my son and my daughter to the Nutcracker last week, and my daughter was like a handful, let's put it mildly. And my son, he loved it. And he said, I want to take dance lessons so I can be in the Nutcracker someday. And so there's a part of, I'm like, now, okay, I'm going to look for a dance class for him, but also I want him to be in a dance class that has other boys in it, because there's also a boy energy that comes along with my son, where like a typical ballet class probably wouldn't be the right fit for him and would turn him off from the experience. Right. So there are these considerations that I think are unique to boys in this kind of situation. Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Yes. And there is a, you know, it's what kind of, I think the book shows too, is that you can have part of that stereotypical boy experience, but not all, you know, it doesn't mean I had both my boys were incredibly rough and tumble, very quote unquote typical in that arena, but very atypical in other areas. And so it's not this kind of black and white. It's, you know, very interwoven. And what I wanted to say too about, you know, you were talking about how boys are they are very sensitive, even though they may not show it.
Yeah.
And it's our job to get underneath that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because even though they don't seem like they are bothered or, you know, they really truly care about something, underneath it, they absolutely do. I mean, that's been proven. And so we have to, as moms and parents, dig down and help them find that and stay in touch with it.
Yeah. There's another essay I just want to point out as people read this book that is like laugh out loud funny. And it begins, "Admittedly, mall shopping has never been my thing, but mall shopping with two small boys, that's a special kind of hell."
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Speaking, like bringing back, this is a chicken soup for the soul essay. I loved it. And there's like a really funny anecdote at the end. Why was this an essay that you included?
Well, so we wanted to get really, you know, all different types of stories. So we wanted humor as well as kind of the very raw, you know, real or emotional kind of pieces. So this was one of them that, you know, stood out
so
to
good.
Us that we thought, again, you know, a lot of women can relate to this. A lot of moms can relate to this. It doesn't necessarily matter what type of boy you have. You know, there's a lot of truth in just trying to wrangle two small children in the mall and trying to go, especially with, you know, ones that have a lot of energy.
And so needing to go into the bathroom with your sons too.
Right. And the things that they say in the bathroom because of what they observe in the bathroom.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we all have, I have bathroom stories as well.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it was great. That was great. We loved it.
What did you learn about being a boy mom while writing this, while working on it?
I think what really struck me is just how many moms wanted to share their story and were just thrilled to be able to write about maybe their non-traditional or not typical experience raising their son and what they learned from that. I think I went into this thinking, wow, this is going to be like pulling teeth, trying to get people to, you know, because who wants to write an essay?
Like that? Right.
That's like a school assignment. But it was unbelievable how the response we got. And since we've published, just the response of, are you doing another one? Can I write I want to share. So I have a great story. I have this, I have that. So that has been really wonderful to see and just kind of confirm that notion that we all want to tell our story. We want to be heard. We want to be seen and we want to be acknowledged for it. And that, you know, our story is relevant and real for us. So I think that was the biggest thing that surprised me.
Are you writing another one?
So we're trying to figure out what that would look like and in what format that would look like. But I feel like we have to, the amount of women that have responded to this. I feel like we have to. We're also looking at working on something around daughters.
Uh-huh.
Very different from this because I don't have daughters. So it's not coming from a like mom of daughters, but coming from being a daughter and kind of that, you know, the family dynamic of daughters and sons and brothers and sisters and kind of the family thing. So yeah, a lot of really fun things, but I do think we have to do a boy moms too, in some fashion, because there are just too many wonderful stories out there that people want to share.
Well, I can't wait. I want to turn to you because in addition to being an author, you are also a co-founder. You are an entrepreneur. You're the founder of thebump.com.
Yes.
Tell us about how you came to into that space.
Well, literally I was pregnant and I was working all the hours and doing all the things and very, very busy and did not have a lot of time. This was with my first son. Had no time to really do a lot of research or anything. And unbelievably, this was at the time, there was not a lot out there where you could just, you know, go and, oh, I can look up where in my city I can get, you know, well, where are the maternity stores? Where are the baby stores? What should I be looking for? How should I be preparing? There was not a lot out there at the time. So that's how it started. I went on my maternity leave from my company and I just never went back because I started writing the business plan for something like that. Serendipitously, I looked at The Knot because TheKnot.com helped me plan my wedding. And so I was like, why isn't there The Knot for pregnant women? Why is this not out there? So I had that business model. And then after building it for 5 years, The Knot actually acquired it, which worked out great. And so then I went to work for The Knot for 3 years running The Bump before I exited and just started working with founders and consulting with them and women founders and helping them. So it was like a lot of good ideas. It was born out of necessity. There was something missing in the market. And I said, we've got to do something about it. And I figured I might as well do it.
Well, as I'm a big fan of the bump and someone who relied on it during my two pregnancies, I have a question I've always wondered. How did you come up with the different size comparisons?
Whether
it's the fruit or the animal, I loved every.
Yeah. That's like,
I love tracking that.
Isn't that amazing? So it's amazing when you're a founder, when you start a company, it's amazing what things resonate with people versus what you thought might resonate with people. That was not something that we put a ton of thought into.
Really?
Well, you know, we brainstormed it and had a great time with it. And that's kind of about it. And now that is what it's become. You know, everyone measures where they are in their pregnancy with you know, those items. And so it's really, really fun to see that and watch that and how that came about. But I'd love to say it was like this amazing stroke of genius, but it really, we just thought about things that made sense for the size and things that resonated and we thought were fun.
Is there like a head researcher on this that will find like the most obscure animal that's the size of like a grapefruit?
Right.
Or,
No, it was not anything that thought out. And so, but that's what I love about just starting companies and being an entrepreneur and founding, you know, you just, a lot of those things that you don't expect to really just hit someone and to take off are the things that do. And the things that you put a lot of time and thought and money, quite frankly, into oftentimes don't. So there's a lot of kind of serendipity and the universe deciding what works, what doesn't work, which I think is part of the fun.
I just one final question. And that is, as an entrepreneur, as an ambitious woman who's also a mother of sons, can you talk about what advice you would give to women who are trying to chart their career path and they share those ambitions, but they're also, you know, struggling with the needs of their children, especially if they have a neurodivergent child and there's so much, you know, when you talk about the mental load, so much energy that needs to go, obviously, to figuring out, you know, what your child needs and how to balance that.
Yeah, it's very, very hard. I don't know if I have a great pat answer for that because, you know, it's incredibly challenging when you're going through it. And there is no right answer. I mean, I, you know, purposefully, when I was done with the Knot and exited, I purposely chose not to start another company, not to become a founder again or co-founder. There was opportunities for that. But I had, you know, put my kids, in my mind, I'd put my kids through the ringer for a while. And so I knew that I needed to take a step back and make that more of a priority. And so I did a very purposeful career choice to do consulting work, which allowed me the flexibility to be there when for what my kids needed and to, you know, they were in grade school. And so I was able to be at their things and take them to their things. So I think my short answer is you need to absolutely follow at any given time what the needs of your family and your kind of world are and try to pattern your career around that and around what is at the time, you know, your biggest priority. There were other times when my kids did not need as much attention. And so I was able to do a lot more or do things a little bit differently with my career. I look at it as a very fluid thing. It's not the straight shot, which I thought it was when I was 22 and graduated and working for IBM and thought I would run IBM one day, right? Mm-hmm. That absolutely did not happen because of my competing priorities. And that's okay. You have to build the career that works for you. And what I love today is that there's so many ways to do that just mm-hmm. with remote work, with, you know, you can live anywhere, you can be anywhere, you can work all hours. And I don't mean work all the hours. I mean, work the hours that work for you, wherever you are. And my mantra has always been work-life integration, not work-life balance, because
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Work-life balance doesn't work for me because it puts more pressure on us because we feel like at any given time when it's out of balance, we feel like we're not doing it right. And it's always out of balance. right? It's always out of balance. You know, it's never. So to me, it's integration, where how do you fit your work into your life? How do you, you know, and how, where does your family fit into that? And it's always integrated. And the other thing for me is I've always said excellence, not perfection. I'm a recovering perfectionist. So I had to learn, especially being a founder, that you have to just put stuff out there, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be excellent. And what excellence means is that you are doing the best possible job you can with the knowledge, with the resources, and with the capacity that you have at that given time. So if you're doing that, you're putting out excellent work and you're doing an excellent job. You're not doing a perfect job, because that's impossible.
Right.
So helping me, so switching those that terminology with me, that really helped me, because I applied that to my work life and to my family life.
I was just going
to
say, as a parent too, you can be excellent, but you're never going to be perfect.
No. And so if we're trying for perfection, perfection is the enemy of creativity, right? If you're trying to be perfect, there's no room for creativity. There's no room to try and work things differently, right? There's no room to find different answers. So I try to, yes, I apply that to everything. I try to apply that to my parenting, my marriage, my career, all of it.
I also love that perfection is the enemy of creativity.
Yeah.
That's one of my key takeaways from this conversation. Thank you.
Good. Absolutely. You're welcome.
Cara Forney, thank you for the time.
Thank you so much. Great talking to you.
You too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.